What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, welcome to Self Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And we are, I don't think we've ever been so excited to do an intro.
Oh man.
We're so stoked.
Oh man.
It's
a good one.
We did an episode with the best guest of all time.
Yeah.
Brian Regan. Just.
Applause. Yes.
He was so cool. We went to Vegas and did it at his.
What is it? House? A mansion in the sky?
Mansion? A mansion apartment?
Mansion tower?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
He was so nice. He gave us a tour of everything and was like so humble about it. It was just like, you guys probably want to leave. And we were like,
Kelsey had
the sweetest moment where she goes, this is going to sound maybe weird, but congratulations on your life. And it was the sweetest thing in the whole world. It made me laugh and smile so hard.
Well, he was showing us his gym and like his movie theater. And I just was like, wow. I mean, like, he started like us, you know, where you just go to an open mic and you try and you hope it works out. And it worked out the best it could for him. Yeah. And now this is how he lives now.
That's right.
Our shirt. And I was overcome.
Yeah.
It was
and
amazing.
He's just the nicest guy. Like the level of success that he has just matches the level of just kindness and warmness. And that is refreshing in this industry because all of us have met people that have been big bummers.
Yeah, that's like an inverse relationship. The more success, the bigger the asshole.
Exactly.
You know?
And he was just the nicest, funniest guy I think I've ever met. I mean, I was dying laughing just talking to him like off the podcast in conversation. I mean, it was ridiculous without even trying. You're just like cracking us up.
Yeah, anyway, man, he does not disappoint on any level.
Yeah. You'll hear us be kind of like extra giggly geese. We were like, giggly, but it was real. Yeah.
Belly laughing.
Yeah.
I was belly laughing, toppling over.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. God, I love him. I mean, it was cool. I mean, he's so many people's favorite comedians, and it was so cool.
Yeah.
So.
And Taylor opens for him. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Sometimes.
What a rock star.
Incredible.
We should plug our things.
Do some plugs.
Please subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes. Oh, would this be a good time to read some ratings and reviews?
Yes, you know what we should do? We should read the update.
From Therese.
Oh, from Therese. Yes.
That seriously
so
brought a tear
cool.
to
that
my eye.
That was incredible. So how many episodes ago was this?
I've got it pulled up.
Yeah. Forward it to Kels.
You have it pulled up?
Yeah.
You should read it, Kels.
You go ahead and read it.
Okay, so Therese had left us an iTunes review, maybe three episodes ago, four episodes ago?
Did she leave us an iTunes review or was it an email?
Something like that about
her. I think it was a review.
Oh, okay.
Because then we said, hey, can you update us and email us?
That's true.
I hope that episode's come out now. I think it's come out, right?
It has.
I'm pretty sure. But she was basically saying how she made some life changes, right?
Yeah, since listening to...
She found it at a good time. She found the podcast at a good time.
Yeah. So we had her email in, and she... Should I read the whole thing? It's pretty long.
It's maybe pretty long. Do the bullet points.
I'm going to give spark notes. Basically, she said that her dream job since high school was to be a yearbook rep for a publishing company, and that she really, like, she goals boarded it. She did all the necessary steps to get to what she thought her dream job was, and then once she got there, she realized it was not what it was all glammed up to be, as she says. Mm-hmm. She says it was mentally and physically exhausting. She gained weight. She was tired. She wasn't seeing her husband as much as she wanted to. She cried every day and hated waking up to go to work. And basically she hit a breaking point where she realized she had to leave the job, and she was unemployed and scared, but she just like knew that walking away was the right thing. And then during this time she found our podcast. She said she started clearing out things that didn't make her happy. She has now landed a position as an account executive for a company, and she's working on living a healthy lifestyle to lose all the weight I gained when I was unhappy. This was the coolest part. She says, I truly cannot explain the amount of hope and empowerment this podcast has brought me. You three made me laugh at life and realize not to stress about so much.
Oh, that's the nicest thing.
And Therese, you sound like a badass. I mean, you just went from one kick-ass job to another.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm very proud of you, because I think so many of us have been in that position where sometimes the idea of a job or the status of a job is so much better than actually doing that job. So many people continue to do it just to say that they have that job.
Yeah.
And to kind of, you know, and it takes a lot of guts to walk away from something like that, because I'm sure it was great status and pay and all the things that keep you there. But yeah, I was in a job very similar that was just eating me alive every day, just no sleep, so much stress, high anxiety. I was not taking care of myself. I was eating a lot of fast food. I just hated it. I dreaded it. Like Sunday night, I just dreaded going to work in the morning. Yeah. And it was an awful experience. And it was hard to leave because there were so many fluffy benefits and stuff. And so, it takes a lot of balls.
Yeah, you're brave. You did, and that is strong woman, awesome. Therese.
Yeah.
And we'd love to send you one of our shirts. We have new shirts.
We got new shirts.
We've got merchandise, you guys. We've got shirts that say, "This is how we live now," from my Marie Kondo breakdown of rearranging my drawers. And then we also have shirts that say, "Crawl in the direction of your dreams."
Yes, from Taylor, I think you had
run in the direction
famous
of
quote
your
where it's like go confidently
in the direction
of your
dreams.
We'll just try to crawl.
We'll just crawl there.
Which is super cool. So we got these two shirts available limited time only, because once they run out, we'll be putting two different quotes on the next set of shirts.
We're just that good, you guys.
we're just that good.
Therese, thank you so much for sending us an update. It really just warmed our hearts
so much.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Please email us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. We love getting emails from you guys and hearing how your lives are changing and what you're going through, and if you need any advice or whatever. We're, you know, we don't know anything, but we'll give it our
we'll
best
give it
shot.
A shot.
And go to iTunes and subscribe and leave a review, because we read all of those too. I mean, honestly, just sending them let me read the one I sent in our group chat this morning.
Let me say really quick, to get these shirts that we just plugged in, selfhelplesspodcast.com. We've got the widget right there.
Yep, takes on the right hand side. Yeah. You'll see both shirts. Click either one. It'll take you to a separate site where you can purchase the shirts basically via PayPal. So.
Yeah, they're $25. We ship them for free. And we're going to be doing this now where each week we're going to pick one of our favorite reviews and ship somebody a free shirt. So Therese, please email us your address and we will gladly ship you one.
And tell us which one you want.
Yes.
And what size you prefer.
And what size,
We like the black ones.
I like the blue ones. I think they're awesome.
You look really cute in the blue one.
Very. You look really cute in the blue
one. I like the black one, but I wear exclusively black. I sweat in the blue one. Okay, so this is one I sent to you guys in our in our group chat this morning.
Yeah.
And it says, "Thoroughly enjoy you three" by B Radley 0327. "I decided to give your podcast a try after hearing you on the Tully Show Swapcast, and I love you girls. It's a great chance to hear a woman's perspective in an otherwise male dominated industry. Keep up the great work. You have this firefighter's attention."
All I've ever wanted out of my life.
Oh my God. Which just goes to show that everybody from all walks of life can enjoy the show.
And yeah. Even firefighters.
Manly. Especially firefighters.
That was inappropriate.
I put it out. Yeah. Put out my, you
let
know.
Me put them, let me
I
put
did
out
a
the
whole,
fire.
I did a hose gesture for everybody who couldn't see that. It was
it
not
was great.
Good.
It was very solid.
Made an imaginary wet t-shirt contest.
Let's plug some dates real quick.
Yes.
This week, this is coming out on October 16th, Monday. This Wednesday, October 18th, I'm at the Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. And this Friday and Saturday, the 20th and 21st, I am at the La Jolla Comedy Store with Jeff Dye, I believe. So come on out to that if you're in La Jolla.
I will be at the Toledo Funny Bone Thursday the 19th through Sunday the 22nd with Dave Landau, and then a bunch of other stuff. I'll be at the Hollywood Improv this week. Oh, we have to plug our shows, our live shows.
Our
just go to kelseycook.com. There's tour dates on there. Also, can we send the firefighter a free shirt as well for being the
I
review of the
we
week?
Absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hope he's still
so
invested.
So B Radley,
if you
email
if you
us.
Go ahead and email us selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com, we can send you a shirt to your address, and we won't show up in whipped cream or anything. That would be inappropriate.
That would be,
and quite frankly, a misuse of your personal information.
Kayla is all.
I think I ruined it.
You're making this night. Yeah, so go do that. And gosh, I feel like we've had so many things to plug now.
We
do you want to plug our personal
Self Helpless Live is happening
live. Yes.
October 30th and November 28th, Monday the 30th, Tuesday 28th at 7:30 p.m. Hollywood Improv Lab. I believe tickets are $10 to get in.
Yeah.
The first show, October 30th, we're doing a Halloween costume party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best costume gets a prize. It'll be audience vote, hosted by the wonderful Jordan Pease, who is on a guest on our podcast.
Yes.
Recently,
so excited.
That everybody loves.
Yeah. You can get tickets at hollywood.improv.com or at any of our websites. Mine's kelseycook.com, ttomcomedy.com, delaneyfisher.com.
Oh. Boom, boom, boom.
Nailed
boom,
it.
Boom. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, that's it.
Think that's
I got
it.
No dates to plug. I'll be around next week if you guys want to grab coffee. I will be at some shows, but I don't remember. So just you can go on my website and you know, I'm doing weird stuff in weird shows, doing some weird experimental stuff. Check it out or don't.
Watch everyone go to her shows and not
our
professional endeavors.
I know.
Just in the back of a creepy coffee shop doing some interpretive dance.
What does that mean?
So,
all right. Well, you guys enjoy this truly fantastic episode with the best of all time, Mr. Brian Regan.
Brian Regan.
Yes.
And one more thing. I'm sorry. We have a YouTube channel now for Self Helpless where we're putting up the video footage of this. So if you'd like to see us in person and our sweet shining faces, that's where you can go do it. So subscribe to our YouTube channel as well.
Yes.
Okay. Oh God,
I did it.
Hate myself. I'm so exhausted from plugs.
At Delaney Fisher.
We love you guys.
Kelsey, guys. Okay. Enjoy this episode, guys. Bye. And we're going to record a separate intro later, so you don't have to sit through the monotony of social media plugs and stuff like that.
We don't even want to sit through that. So.
Yeah, exactly. We're a little sick of our social media plugs.
We're so sick of it.
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but the handful of that I've listened to, there's like a 5-minute thing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that sort of a thing that has to be done now with podcasts?
We were just talking about that on the drive-in. I feel like that's become kind of the standard, but I don't know if listeners enjoy it or if they understand that like it's a necessity. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just no good way to do it, you know, like here's us, let's talk about us, plug us,
and
me then... myself and I and we and us we and us
and here's the people who are paying us. Let's talk about
we want to thank them for giving us money so we can talk about us.
It is. It's so clunky every time where we're just like, let's plug our socials. So what do you got over there, Delaney? Like, just the most weather girly delivery.
Yeah.
Now to Delaney with her Twitter.
Yeah.
Tweet me.
It's so self-indulgent.
Please message me.
Yeah. But if you don't, then people are like, what are you doing? You got to let the people know where you are.
It's like, can they find us if they want
to? And you really have to spoon feed people. You can't just announce things anymore. You got to like include a link and also like go to their house and set it up for them.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Get it started. Because otherwise they're like, where is it?
The number of people. What time is your show and where? It's like, do you not have Google or anything? Why do I have to do this for you?
I hate when you give, backstage passes for somebody and you say it's gonna be a half an hour before the show and then they reply, what time is the show?
Like, oh my god.
Can you figure that part out?
I'm doing so much for you.
Gosh, I'm doing a whole, it's all
am I supposed to send you a map and the times and where to park? You know, some of this is on your part of the ledger.
You know what I mean? We also hate dealing with backstage passes for super fans. It's
backstage.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right. I think I tell you, your bodyguard's got to talk to them.
I should have started with some other less pompous complaint.
Take it easy, Brian.
You know, what about when you show up and the red carpet is like curled up around the edge? Like, don't you know I'm coming? You know what I mean?
Don't even get us started.
Oh, God. My butler is the worst.
Oh, my gosh. Just,
somebody asked me what the food was, like, how the menu was. I'm like, I don't know. I don't work there. I work in there for one night.
For a comedy club?
Call the venue. Look online. Yeah. I'm not going to be the one serving
that's
chicken
funny.
Fingers. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's more our level.
Yeah. The chicken finger level.
That's where we live. That's where we live.
I've
done plenty of that.
Oh, for sure. Yes, of course.
Should we start with some of the fan questions?
Yeah, let's start with some fan questions because, I mean, it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway. Obviously, the three of us are like huge fans of yours.
That is very nice. Thank you. That means a lot to me.
And you're very humble about it to a point, but you know, you're on like the Mount Rushmore of comedy. And so
on
we
the backside, good comedians,
you climb,
you go around
there.
To the back and then there's this half chiseled face back over there. So I'm on, technically I'm on it.
It's always
no
under
one's ever
construction.
Seen it. No, thank you. We're trying to compliment the guy and he won't take it.
You are impossible to compliment. Like the first couple times I met you, I was so nervous to work with you and just trying to compliment. I think there was one night on your bus where I was just like, I kind of gushed a little bit for like 20 minutes. And I remember talking to your tour manager and just being like, was that okay? Was that too many compliments? Because he seemed a little, and he goes, oh no, he appreciates it. He was just, you know, he's very humble and nice. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that happened.
I'm very honored when anybody says anything nice. So thank you.
Yeah. You're very good to your fans as far as like, you know, greeting them before and after sometimes. And just, I was telling them on the way up about how you'll do requests from the audience during your encore, which is so cool to see, and just so appreciative and just a very nice example of like how you should do it from the chicken finger level looking up. We're just like, oh, that's how we should be when we have nicer chicken fingers.
You're like a rock star, like that you go out at the end and you do like the hits.
Yeah,
like no one does that. Awesome. It's so cool.
It's incredibly flattering. And the first time it happened was like a fluke, you know. It was the first time I had made that move from a comedy club to a theater.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I went to St. Louis and I did a theater. I think it's called the Pageant Theater.
Yeah.
So it was my first time ever in a place like that where people are coming to see me.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing for me. And I did the show and said goodnight. And I left the stage. And usually in a comedy club, that's it. They applaud and then they gather their stuff and they leave.
Right.
But I guess there was nothing else for them to do. So they were like, we're kept applauding in a nice way. And I'm off stage with Rory, my manager. I think you've met Rory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's really nice. And he said, I think you should probably go back out there, which was just very humbling. And I was like, okay. So I ran back out, said, hey, man, this has meant a lot to me. I appreciate y'all being here.
Yeah.
And then they started shouting bits that I hadn't done in years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gosh.
They were like, Pop-Tarts and stupid in school. And I'm like, I had retired those, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. So I did a handful of them. And wow. It was very flattering that they even knew that stuff.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of became a thing that has happened sometimes when I go back out, people think, well, maybe if we shout something out that we really like. Yeah. Now that he's done with this new hour of nonsense, maybe we can hear what we really came here to hear. So they shout some things out, and it's kind of it's very flattering.
Yeah,
it's the coolest.
Yeah, very cool. Really,
I feel like there's this pressure all the time now with everybody churning out these hours where it's like, okay, you do it and then you throw it away and don't even look at it, you know? Yeah, right. And it's so cool to have fans that are like, no, we want to hear that again. That's how much we love that, you know?
It's very gratifying, but it is weird because comedy, unlike music, as you all know, is there's the surprise aspect.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess my bits are, I don't know, in a way, they don't mind rehearing them,
yeah.
You know, even though the funny part, they already know what's coming.
Right.
I don't know. What I'm trying to say is my fans are kind of stupid.
Breaking news. Regan hates fans.
The whole time I'm on stage, I'm scratching my head going, what's with these morons? Don't they know anything about comedy? You know.
And it is sort of rock stars, but it's also like, I don't think anyone's ever yelled, cup of dirt at a rock star.
That's true.
So, yeah. No, it's a very cool thing.
That's so funny. That's so cool. We have some social media equivalent of people yelling Pop-Tarts at you.
Yeah. Wasn't the big one, me too.
Or you too. That's from, so my boyfriend Kane is your number one biggest fan ever.
We
met you maybe 5 years ago backstage at the Paramount with Kermit. Up in Seattle.
Oh, cool.
It's very hard to make my boyfriend speechless, and he was just he couldn't say anything to you because he loves you so much.
That's nice.
So
thank you to thank him. And I guess I don't know how to take a compliment. Thank him. That's not even a thing that anybody has ever said. Thank him. Thank him very much.
So he wanted to ask if you still get people yelling "Yo too" at you either on stage or just walking around and people recognize you. Does that still happen?
Yeah, sometimes. One of the weirdest experiences is I was in an elevator in a hotel, and there's another person in the elevator who looks at me and says, "Oh, are you the?" He says, "You're the and you guy." So he's got it wrong. It's
right.
You too.
Yeah.
But I'm just flattered the guy even knows who I am. So I'm not going to call him out on it.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's me. You know, I'm not going to go, it's you too. You know, I said, yeah, that's me. And he goes, I love that bit. He goes, there's not a day that goes by that I don't say and you as well. And I'm thinking, now do I correct him? You know, I don't. How far do I go with this? And I said, yeah, no, it's kind of a weird thing. You know, we all feel dumb sometimes. And he goes, yeah, man, that's cool. And then the elevator door opens and we walk out into the lobby of this hotel with a lot of people. And I'm walking away and he thinks it's going to be funny to yell after me what he thinks is my bit.
Oh, my God.
So as I'm walking through the lobby, he's yelling, and you, and you. And I'm thinking, I'm the only guy who knows what he's talking about, and I don't know what he's talking about.
There's no audience.
Give a sad wave.
Yeah, and it's like I'm giving him the kind of wave that I hope he recognizes as stop yelling.
Okay, we're done with that. Just keep that on the elevator.
Yeah. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He will be very happy to hear that story.
He can listen to it and go, I'm the him.
Oh, God, what if that was Kane? That'd be
hilarious. Who's the one, if all your jokes were drowning, which one would you save?
You can only save one.
That's from
a Michael.
Michael.
We don't know him.
What an interesting question.
What about, let's make it easier, your children. If one of your children...
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
What's your favorite joke right now? That's a bit.
Well, the favorite jokes to me are always the newest jokes.
Right.
The newest jokes that I'm now working on. And one of them might have something to do with what we're talking about here. I have OCD.
Oh.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
It's a new bit that I'm working on. And so that's my favorite bit, because when I get to that, I've only done it 4 times on stage. Mm-hmm. When I get to that, it's a feeling of excitement. Like, I don't know if they're going to laugh. If they do laugh, I don't know where they're going to laugh. I don't know where these laughs are, if any. So I the newer the bit, the more it's exciting. You know, and I love those moments on stage. I mean, I like doing older bits that I know will work as well, but I prefer the ones that I don't know will work.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds strange.
I love that.
And that was another thing somebody asked, was how do you work on new material, being that you're always touring in these huge theaters where people paid money to see you? You just kind of have to weave it in where you can. Do you ever go to some cities where you're just like, look, Columbus, I don't know what to tell you. You're the guinea pigs this month.
Yeah.
But your audiences love it when you try new material on them. Like, anytime I've seen you where you go, like, that's a new one, and everyone just, they think it's, it's like an exclusive.
They'll either do that or they'll go, we can tell. We can tell that's new.
We smell the stinger. We figured as much.
Bring back a cup of dirt.
Are you done experimenting? When I first started doing the larger venues, I was concerned about, I didn't feel it was appropriate to try to sneak new stuff in. I'm thinking, these people are coming out.
Right.
They're sitting in red velvet chairs.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be giving them a show. And after about 6 months of that, I was like, no, this is what I do. And I don't want to keep doing the same stuff. I need to add new material. So I just started sandwiching it in. I'm a little more careful of bookending it. Mm-hmm. You know, in a comedy club, it can be more freewheeling, especially on a, you know, Sunday night or third show on a night or something like that. But so I will bookend it. I'll know I'm going to hit something strong, do something new, and then I know I've got a relatively strong thing to go into after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I've got the savers, you know, the, like you say, where I can like say, hey, I can joke about it being new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I love about comedy, is that we can fail and then joke about failing. There's no other occupation. You know, a pilot can't get on and go, I did not see that mountain. You know what I mean?
Right.
Isn't that funny, everybody in the back?
Should have rehearsed more.
Right.
You know, but with comedy, everybody, it's funny that it was lousy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That is so funny. Yeah. A few people asked, Christine, who's a comic I know, asked, can you ask him what his writing process is like? Do you sit down to write, or do you just kind of wait for things to come to you? Because you seem like you kind of work stuff out on stage. Is that fair to say? Or are you more of like a write it all down type of person?
It depends on where in the process. The first part of a joke, to me, I don't know how to sit down in front of a blank piece of paper and put stuff on it.
Yeah.
Blank pieces of paper remain blank pieces of paper.
Yeah.
I could stare at it for an hour and it doesn't work. So for me, I mean, some people, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
So for me, the original idea for a joke is just, I just go through my day the way I would normally go through my day, and I'll notice something. And how that happens, I don't know. I don't know how that happens for any of us.
Right.
But then you go, okay, boom. Once you've got that, then you can apply a craft to it. And it's like, okay, I know what the idea is. Now let me find the words to give it a shot on stage. Mm-hmm. And I will have a rough version of how I want to do it on stage. And then I think a lot of the best writing takes place on stage. And you bring that on stage. And then while you're doing it, it just comes out leaner and meaner sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, because of the energy.
There's something about that that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I always think of it as, you know, those movies where there's a guy at the news desk and somebody comes in hot off the presses, say this. That's what happens in your brain when you're on stage and I'm doing some long, boring, clever version of something I thought of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And something will run into my brain going, say this now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just bang it out like in four words when you go, that should have been 400 words.
Yeah.
You know. I gave you way too long an answer for
no, that. No, that was great.
It
was awesome.
I love that. That's why we're talking to you. Okay. Not for...
It'd be funny, like, when I hear this and you edit, like, 75% of all my answers.
It's mostly us.
And at that beginning part, when you go, yeah, the us, me part, going, we could not get this guest of ours to shut up. So we took some editorial license and we're cutting his answers down to the yes or no part.
What's your writing process like? Yeah.
Yes.
Just the spark note version. Okay, so Mario Garcia Jr. writes, I'm curious what his thoughts are on joke thieves. Does he think it's purely coincidental or premeditated? He says, has he ever been accused of stealing a joke? Just curious. Love the show. Looking forward to hearing this. So,
great question.
Yeah.
All of those take place. I mean, you know, there are people who are outright joke thieves who know what they're doing. There are people who are doing it inadvertently. Mm-hmm. And then there's stuff called parallel development where you think of something that somebody else also thought of. I think most comedians will give other comedians a pass if they hear one thing that somebody else does, because we're going to think of things that are similar.
Right.
It's when you hear a number of things where you go, well, there's eight jokes that this person's doing that are similar to somebody else's. That's when you start, you know, raising a flag.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of situations in my career where I've done things, never on purpose, but where I later realized, I think I heard that and it went into my subconscious.
Yeah.
And the moment I learned that, I drop it. There was a bit years ago, there was a comedian a long time ago, Dennis Wolfberg, very, very funny guy. And he had a thing about how the terms idiot, imbecile, and moron are actual technical terms. And there's actually a hierarchy of them. So he had this bit about you could call somebody an imbecile and it's a compliment to them. Where they're going, no, I'm not an imbecile, I'm a moron, you know?
Yeah.
So he had done that bit, and that must have gone into my subconscious. And then I went out on the road and I thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I was doing a bit like that for a few months. And a comedian came up to me and said, and this is what's good about hopefully having a good reputation, is other comedians will come up to you.
Right.
Because they're on your side and they assume you're not trying to steal.
Right. Right.
And this guy came up and said, I don't know if you know Dennis Wolfberg has a bit like that. And I'm like, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. And now I remember him doing it. And I thought of it, and then I just dropped it.
Right.
You know, I just never did it again.
Yeah, which is really all you can do.
Right, that's it.
I had another bit that I did on Letterman that somebody pointed out was similar to a Bob Goldthwait bit. And I didn't know that he had a bit that was similar. Mm-hmm. I got online. I tried to – it took me – a while to find the bit.
Yeah.
And I found the bit. And it's very similar. We use the same words. It's about how guys try to act macho when they go out hunting.
Mm. Yeah.
And yet everything they're doing is, you know, they're sitting next to a guy on a boat and wearing matching outfits. Or, you know what I mean? And you're watching the sunrise. You know.
Yeah.
So he had a very similar thing with similar wording.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard his bit.
Wow.
And it's very important to me to have a good reputation. And I contacted my manager. We got Bob Goldthwait's info. I contacted him. I told him, hey, man, I did a bit on Letterman. It's been brought to my attention that you have a similar bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know I'm never going to do it again. Wow. Even though I knew I had thought of it independently.
Right. Wow. Yeah, that's so tough.
You know, if somebody had attached that idea to being his, then I figured that was a ship that had sailed and I didn't want to, you know, glom onto the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
And he was very cool about it. He, I think, appreciated the fact that I was reaching out to him and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And then I did that whole chunk of material, not that part of it, on my next special, and I left that part out.
Yeah.
And that would have got a huge laugh because when I stole it from Bob Goldthwait, I knew that stuff was strong.
That was
I only steal the best.
We're just going to edit that this part for good, the whole podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So what's your writing process like?
I only steal from the best. Yeah,
right. You guys can ruin me in one podcast.
Yeah. Oh, be careful who you let into your home. We are here. Are there any other ones? Do we want to talk about
one more? Corey asked, what's your favorite popsicle flavor? I just thought it was sweet.
Well, I have the snow cone bit, which is grape, cherry, grape. I don't know if they're like sort of.
Is it snow cone popsicle. Or popsicle? This is popsicle.
Popsicle.
Someone did reference one of your bits to Kelsey, and we were like, what does that mean? Because I think it was something we missed.
Somebody had a hopeless chest as a high school graduation gift or something like that.
Do you have a bit about a hope chest where you call it a hopeless chest?
Do I?
Yeah. No. We don't know what they're referencing. Let's call Bobcat. Maybe he has one.
Hey, Bob.
Wait, does somebody really think that I have a bit?
I don't know.
We don't know.
That was a comment that was left that we were like, I don't know what that.
No, I don't
know. Yeah, my mom bought me a hopeless chest for my high school graduation present.
That's not my
And a
joke.
Hope chest is, we all know what a hope chest
right.
is.
Yeah, I was like, none of
that's
us.
That's a funny joke. It's not related
to anything.
I don't know. That's really funny,
we had a lot of
though.
Comments, by the way, of people just going, no question, I just love him. I just saw him once and he was great. And just tell him thank you for that show. And I'm like, okay, we said questions, but we'll tell him.
Delete.
We'll
let him unfollow.
Yeah. Like, he was just, thank you so much for doing that show. Yeah.
I have a fan question from my heart. I want to know.
Wait, I want to answer the other one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you have another
one? Oh, sorry. There was, but we can do your...
The popsicle one.
Oh, yeah, the popsicle one.
Because if I don't...
It's pressing.
Your listeners would be going...
That's true.
He never answered the popsicle question. And then they won't be able to listen to anything after that.
This is
true.
Anyway. Yeah.
This is true.
I will say... I don't know why I need to answer this.
It's very important to you, clearly.
You know, you're bringing up a lot of... You're bringing up a lot of stuff from inside me.
A deep childhood. Yeah.
You know, when I used to be beaten when I was young, it was while I was eating cherry. And then when the beating stopped, I was given a grape. So grape is the favorite because I associate that with not being beaten.
Sure.
Let's sure.
It's a very dark. Relatable childhood memory for most of us. Yeah. So grape it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Nobody bring up cherry going forward.
That was intense. We should have stuck to
joke. How did a popsicle question end up with child abuse in the answer?
Brian's just real sick of being asked about being a clean comic.
Yeah.
He will turn anything into a dark, dark premise.
Becoming the Jim Carrey of comics in terms of these podcasts.
Yeah.
Did you see his red carpet thing? That was so bizarre.
Oh, boy.
I did.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
yeah, he's been going through some... I guess he's been doing that self-analyzing, what's it all about, Alfie kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know,
what is our place in this world? Who are we? How do we fit in?
Yeah.
And so obviously it's on his mind and it's coming out in interviews and things like that.
Yeah. Ooh. It was very intense.
To look that anyway,
was he sitting down in the interview with someone
else?
No,
he was like,
I saw
he was like
one.
Waltzing around her. She was clearly having a panic attack. Like, I don't know what's going on.
If we're thinking of the same interview, there was one interview where I thought what the woman asked was very inappropriate.
What did she ask?
She said, I heard you were wandering the streets and having trouble getting a date.
Whoa. What? I didn't see that one.
That's weird.
People just think they can say anything.
You know, his girlfriend had passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and in the wake of that, to ask a question like that, I don't know if she meant getting a date for this event or whatever. And so one of his reactions, if they edit out the question, that's what he was reacting to.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that was the same one I watched or if he's been doing more unusual interviews lately.
He's been doing it even with, you know, fair questions. But
yeah.
One of his reactions was to what I thought was a completely unfair question.
Yeah, that's awful. That's
such a poor Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Yikes. What's your heart question?
Oh, I just wanted to know if you still love stand-up as much as you did when you started. Like, has it maintained a consistent, you know, first love in your life, or does it kind of, you know, go up and down? Is it ever like, I don't feel like going to this theater tonight, I just want to hang out here, order some Chinese food? Like, how does does that
Chinese
go up and down?
Chinese food is a bit, Chinese food trumps all, but taking that out of it. No, I still love it. I still love it. I still consider myself very fortunate to be able to do it, and I try not to, you know, when I'm before a show starts, and when you see an audience, the show hasn't even started, and there's a murmur of the crowd. You know, it's just very, like, humbling to go, how am I so lucky that I get to do this?
Yeah.
And that there are a handful of people out there that seem to like it. You know, it's just, I love it. I still love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great. So cool.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah. The humility you have is so incredible. And there was, I think I was opening for you in like Riverside, the one where my parents came and they came backstage and were very embarrassing, but lovely. Cause they, you know, they love you. And we just like grew up listening to you in the car. And, my dad was talking to you about just like, isn't it great, all these people or whatever, and you're like, and you talking about how you had your kids with you at the time on the road with you, and I remember you saying something so funny where you were just like, yeah, he's like, it keeps you grounded, because you know, you come off stage to this thunderous applause and they're like, I need a band-aid. You're like, do you know who I am? You know where I just was? Oh, that was so funny. That's for me.
Yeah, that was actually a true thing when I got off stage one time and my daughter literally told me that she needed a new band-aid on her like pinky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you see what just happened? You know what I mean? And you just go, man. So obviously we're all wearing different hats in life. It's like I'm big shot showbiz guy and now I'm daddy finding a band-aid. And and I like that there are those different worlds, but I feel like telling my daughter, give me 5 minutes to bask in the glory.
Down.
Give me a second. God.
You seem like you balance it all pretty well, though. Like, you have your kids on the road with you a fair amount, and you talk on stage about how much you love being a dad. And it just, one of the questions we got was to seamlessly transition.
Oh, beautiful.
It was from Jim McVeigh, who's a very funny San Francisco comic, asked, like, he's always curious about people who are very busy with their careers. How do you balance, like, family and work? Is that at all difficult for you, or?
It's not easy, but I mentioned the OCD thing. I'm very organized, like, and there are days that are really compact where I literally have to like go, what am I going to do at 11 o'clock? What am I doing at 12 o'clock? What am I doing at 1 o'clock? And that includes quality time.
Yeah.
With my kids. I'm picking up my daughter at 4 and, I'm taking both my kids to Dallas tomorrow to watch the first Las Vegas hockey game.
Oh, great.
We have a new hockey team here.
Oh, yes.
And the first game is an away game.
Uh-huh.
I was going to take them to the first home game, but I have to be in L.A. for something.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. So I just map everything out to make sure that, you know, I have time to do everything that I need to do.
Yeah.
That's great.
It just makes it sound so easy.
Yeah. So you have OCD, which I did not know. How do you, you know, care for that? Is there certain things that help you or stress you out, or you get flare-ups?
Yeah. Have you always had it? I'm very interested in this.
Did you get diagnosed recently, or has it been a lifelong?
I've always known. The bit that's been working. This is when I was talking before about how you have something written out and then when you're on stage, you go a different direction. Well, this just popped out of me when I was on stage the first time I did it, where I said, I suffer from OCD. Mm-hmm. And then right in my mind, I'm like, suffer, strong word. So I ad-libbed about that on stage. I said, well, suffering is a bit of a strong word. I said, people today say they suffer from things when 20 years ago they just dealt with it.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, I think suffering should be reserved for people who are literally rolling around on the ground, writhing in agony. Yeah. Say, am I allowed to run up to them and go, you're preaching to the choir. I have to alphabetize everything. So,
That's so funny.
I think suffering is for people. You should be able to see the rib indentations coming through their torso. You know, right. We're not on the same page. But anyway, I do have it, but I've also always had, I like to think, a sense of humor about it. You know, it's right. like I know it's ridiculous.
How severe is it? Yeah. Does it like interfere with your daily life to where it's like, I got to get out of bed, but I got to do it 14 times? Like,
yeah. Right. And is it more obsessive rituals? Or compulsive? Like, is it more thoughts or actions?
Oh, well, I guess both. I mean, you know, I need to be organized. Mm-hmm. I just have to, when things are starting to get away from me, you know, that drives me crazy. I need to know what I have to do. I need to know who I need to communicate with. I need to make sure that all balls are in the air and happening. It's when things fall through the cracks. I'm like, if that fell through the cracks, what major things are falling through the cracks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating, and this is going to show how crazy I am. But if I've got 5 paper clips and now I only have 4, I'm like, well, what major things in my life are falling apart? If I can't keep track of my paper clips.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. We love it. We love it.
I am off the rails. My whole life could be off the rails.
We love hearing about the crazy. Yeah, that's like a big part of this podcast.
You know what I mean?
Podcast.
So it represents I'm not in control.
Yeah. Right.
And I know it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can laugh about it, but it's also still there.
Yeah. Wow. And you've just always had it? It hasn't developed over the years? It's just kind of always been as long as you can remember?
I don't know when I would imagine it's always been there, but I think, you know, it manifests itself maybe as I got older, maybe more and more. You can't let things fall through the cracks, so you have to make sure you're on top of things, you know?
Yeah.
But what's weird is I think it has helped me with my comedy because I'm very meticulous with my words and my bits, you know, like in comedy, there's always 3 goals. There's the new joke goal. There's the 5-minute goal of the next Fallon or whatever. And then there's the hour goals. And I want every one of these goals to, I want to hit them as strong as I can. And I think that anal meticulous part of me helps in that regard.
Yeah.
But that might not help me in life in general, but I think it has helped my career.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's such a relief to hear. I mean, we talk about all the time how neurotic we are, that we're very type A. And I think sometimes I'm envious of comics who do seem to just go up all loosey-goosey and like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, talk this out. I don't really know what my set list is because I'm always like, oh, I knew Tuesday what I was saying on Saturday. You know, like, God, like, I can't not know. So I need it. And I've worried that that's been like, you know, a setback to me. Maybe that's something that's bad, but it's a really nice relief to hear that somebody like you really does thrive on that, because I know it does seem to help me. I feel better when I'm, you know, we all have our little like goals posters, and we got our jokes on stickies, and we're so crazy.
I got an encyclopedia, a joke encyclopedia, where I basically alphabetize all my material, and I keep it in a giant just Word doc, and I just boop.
Yep, alphabetize
plug
it?
Things in. Yep, I've actually transferred everything to a Google Doc so I can access it on my phone at all times.
You truly are suffering. I'm not that crazy.
I lost a paperclip.
I thought we were talking about lighthearted stuff here.
I'll go.
I
relate completely.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you
keep
this.
Track of it.
Because you obviously, you are, would all of you say you're type A?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, we have
type A plus.
Double A.
Type A
plus.
Type A double A.
Double A.
Honor students.
Yeah.
Well, when you're organizing, and to me, I've come to realize that it's impossible to ever be done with the organizing. It's always like a quest, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you say you alphabetize your bits, don't you go, well, maybe I should categorize these by subject matter, or maybe I should categorize them by this? So there's that internal dilemma of, if I alphabetize them, maybe then when I'm doing a set, I'll miss out on a bit that I wanted to pull out it. And if I had it categorized another way,
yes,
it would be more efficient.
Right. I do this. So I do, like, if I have kid material, I'll go kids/nanny, kids/brother, kids/. So I have all this kid stuff, and then I can just kind of pick and weave. I'm
that's
insane.
Amazing. I'm like,
oh, I thought that was like kind of a normal thing, but I guess it's not. Weird. Yeah, it's a
but
weird
how
thing.
How much material do you lose if you don't do that? Like, I've had material that I remembered, and I was like, oh, it's actually pretty good. I should do that again.
That's why I started doing it. Because I kept forgetting my own bits. And I remember like parts of it. And like, oh, I used to say that with it. And now I don't say it. So I just had to write everything down or I will forget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I just did a thing that's coming out. It's an hour long.
Ooh,
and there's a
Is it a special?
What if it was like a rhythmic dance routine that he's just breaking the mold?
I thought that would be
an hour long.
I don't know if that would sound like I'm patting myself on the back.
Oh my god, you were
Netflix,
so
right?
Humble.
Yeah. Netflix.
Let's see.
Let's plug your Netflix special.
I did this thing. It's
please
stupid.
Take
it's
this
an
out.
Hour.
I don't want anybody to.
It's like 57 minutes. I didn't even go the full
Taylor,
hour.
Is well, it a special? Okay.
Well, the cat's out of the bag. I guess that's what they're calling it. But there's a bit in there that is missing a part because I wasn't as organized as I wished I had been.
Oh.
It's and it'll kill me forever. Because the bit isn't the
best
perfect
it could be.
Version of the bit.
Right.
And now that it's on Netflix, or will be, it's coming out in November, I move away from that material. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like I consider that material done and... You know, so it's like, darn it, the more perfect version of it is not out there forever.
Yeah.
It's an imperfect version of it. So even though the bit works, it's not all it can be.
Right.
Interesting.
Oh, so
you're making me feel so much better right now.
Like, you beat yourself up too. It's such a relief.
Yeah.
We all kind of do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I ruminate on things like a mad woman. Just really. Yeah. This is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So when you guys watch the special, you can just sit back and go, this is not as good as it could have been.
I bet you it's this joke.
This is the bit.
This must be the bit because this is just kind of laying there.
This pie's missing a piece.
This feels light.
This is clearly missing a funny part.
Oh, no, so everyone watch Brian's special in November and try to figure out which it is.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
Can we plug the name of it? Not allowed to yet?
Nunchucks and Flamethrowers.
Oh, nice.
We were on the bus when we were talking about it.
I remember you were... What was the other one?
The first title was I Don't Know What It Is.
Yes.
Because in there, I started to say that, I flubbed it, and then I went off on this tangent that we use in the credit roll where I start to say, I don't know what it is, which is just a transition.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about people is what the title was going to be, which sort of makes sense comedically.
Yeah.
And then Netflix was like, that's too long. So I changed it to I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just felt too bland to me.
Yeah. Mm.
And I also, I don't want the message of my comedy to be that I don't know. I want to feel like I am an observer of life.
People to think you're Chuck Norris.
And that I'm
nunchucks and flamethrowers.
Yeah. Let's be clear. That's a grabbier title.
Because if I say I don't know, it's like I'm hitting the stage shrugging and it's like, well, no, I'm a comedian for a reason. I'm observing things and I'm pointing them out. So I thought that was undercutting being a comedian. And then,
that's interesting.
So you know, nunchucks and flamethrowers is just a punchline within one of the jokes, and it's just kind of silly. And so I figured I'd go with that.
You could have called it. I know what it is.
Yeah. I certainly know.
Right. I certainly know.
I certainly know. I think I voted. I think us on the bus when we were talking about it, we voted for I don't know just because we thought it would be funny. The idea that Netflix goes, what do you want to call it? And you go, I don't know. And they go, that's great.
Yeah.
That's perfect. But I think you made the right choice.
Well, yeah. I like that.
I know you're wanting
like
that approval.
You know why things are stupid. Yeah.
It was.
Specifically.
No, it was very important to hear what you said, you know, but it reminds me of the Simpsons episode when they're going to name their bowling team and Homer says, let's name it something that's funny the first time you hear it, sort of funny the second time you hear it, and then it's never, ever funny again after that.
That's perfect.
That was great.
That's so good. So, oh, man.
Anyway.
Do we have any more questions that we want to get through?
I think but I got we can, it.
Yeah. We can I did ask segments. You briefly beforehand, and I wish I'd talked to you about it earlier because it is sort of a pressurizing question. Usually we ask guests if they have a quote that that resonates with them on a personal level. Most people have them, especially white women like us, those pumpkin spice
Beyonce
quotes on
Instagram quotes.
Instagram quotes. So if there's any quotes from heroes of yours or people you admire or something you've said that you were like, by God, that's good. I mean,
let's put that in stone.
It'd be weird if I answered it that way. Yeah. Well, here's something that I said. Which was important for a lot of people. And I'm not very religious, but the golden rule to me fits everything in life. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And I think that works for everything.
Yeah.
I think it works for everything.
Yeah, it does.
And even if you don't want to have a religious component to it, you know, it's just, you know, if you're the waitress, would you treat the waitress the way you want to be? Treat the waiter the way you want to be treated. Treat the flight attendant the way you would want to be treated if you were the flight attendant.
Totally.
Just do everything like that and life will be wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. Brian fixed
great.
Fixed everything.
Yeah.
No, that's a great one. That's perfect.
It's one that's good to be reminded of too. It's just, we don't hear it enough, I feel like. Yeah.
You said you weren't super religious, and as everyone knows, you're very clean, and I know you've been asked to death about that. But do you ever feel like you are disappointing fans? Because a lot of your fans are very religious when they find out that you're not, you know, technically like a big like church guy or whatever.
Well,
that you're not doing it for like some, you're not protesting dirty comedy with yours. This is just how you are.
It's a very weird thing. When you work, and I hate the word. I cringe at the word clean because it there's a connotation associated with it that has nothing to do with what I want to do as a comedian.
Yeah.
Right.
And some people think, there's so much us against them in our world, politically and in all ways. And it's the same with comedy. That there's this us against them. I get so many people that come up to me after shows, and I don't mind the fact that they like that it's clean. If that's something that interests you, great. But when they like take me aside and go, I'm glad you're not like them.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard for me because I feel like saying, and I do say, I like them.
Yeah. I am like them.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to what they do. I like dirty comedy. I like political comedy. I like prop comedy. I like all different kinds of comedy. I like that there are filthy comedians. I like that there are comedians that use the F word. I like there are comedians that talk about sex. I have what I want to do. Let them do what they want to do and let people choose for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not an us against them. It's in addition to them.
Yeah. Right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, because you do get those fans that do kind of go like, thank you so much for what you're doing. Like, you're like making a stand or like cleaning up the streets. And I always think that's so interesting because you handle it very well. But, you know,
I don't want to undercut what's important to them. That's fine that's important to them. But I think they get the wrong idea of why I do what I do.
Right.
I just do it. I like it because it interests me comedically.
Yes.
Right.
I want to see how much mileage I can get.
Yeah.
Without hitting these words that I know people will laugh when you say these words. So I don't want that laugh. I mm-hmm. want the laugh to come out of the idea.
Yeah.
And if I can't think of an idea, I make a silly face.
That's always there. You
nailed it.
Then you do a shoulder shimmy.
Oh, I like to walk
the king of shoulder shimmies.
And if I can't think of something smart, I cross my eyes and hunch over, and that's good for a big laugh right there.
You do have such a specific like it's almost like your delivery walk of just
the handshake.
Like, it's a, yeah, what is it? The handshake, and you do kind of like the box, like you have like a sneaky square dance thing that you do that I think is so funny. Oh. Just that people start laughing just the minute you're kind of walking around, and just like, so I thought about this, and it's so funny to me.
That's very nice. Yeah. A guy yelled something out one time, and I regret this to this day. It ended up he was trying to compliment me, but I didn't take it as a compliment.
Audiences are tough. Bad at that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was on stage and I did something, and then I walked to the other side of the stage, and a guy yelled out, you don't even have to say anything and people laugh. And I thought he was insulting the comedy instead of taking it as a compliment.
Yeah.
I thought he was like saying that I'm just being a buffoon on stage.
Oh, right. I see.
And I said something to the effect of, well, I'd like to think there's more to it than just me goofing around up here. And then the crowd just got silent because they knew what he meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so doesn't this guy know how to take a compliment, you know? And I moved on and struggled my way through the rest of that awkward set.
Yeah.
And then the guy came up to me after the show and said, I apologize, but I meant that as a compliment. He goes,
yeah.
And I felt horrible, and I still feel horrible, and that's why I'm talking about it right now.
Oh, well,
hopefully he's listening.
Guy, if you're listening to this, first off, thank you so much, and second, don't yell at comedy shows, ever. And that will never happen again.
Even compliments, because we don't know what those mean. We're not used to those.
Huh? Especially Brian. Yeah.
We will shoot it down.
This also kind of piggybacks off of you being clean. I think there's an image with, clean comics that you don't have any vices versus dirty comics who are, you know, talking about their addictions or whatever, living more of like a party lifestyle. Do you have vices, or do you feel like you're self-destructive in any way?
I like to have a cocktail every now and then.
Oh, boy.
Taylor has seen me have a cocktail.
Wild man.
I have. And I was like, my childhood.
I like to let loose every now and then. And I'm safe about it. You know, I'm not driving, it's a whatever. Yeah. But, I like to get lit up.
Okay. This is the greatest moment of my life.
So let me rephrase. I like to have a cocktail.
You said because
that is an understatement.
Every now and then,
I like to do a little blow, and by a little, I mean a lot.
Just a bit. Oh my gosh! I'm just gonna edit this part with the other part where you steal material. Just back to the podcast. Lit up and stealing bits.
I steal material and I like to get lit up.
We're gonna auto tune this into a viral video.
Wow,
that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Nice.
And it's it's fun when you're with your friends and everybody knows who you are and you can let loose. And I've got some buddies and friends. We have golf weekends, and we just golf during the day. We get drunk. We play poker at night. We're all in a house. Nobody's getting hurt.
Nice.
And I like to do that every now and then.
Yeah. What's your drink of choice?
Well,
what is it?
Oh God,
they're alphabetized.
There's like a shelf.
Oh my God!
I got amaretto, then I've got bourbon, then I got Coors, Dewars. I don't know if I could go through the hot
lot.
I like, I like to do a shot of Patron. Tequila.
Nice. Okay.
And I know A is not the right. I like to do a number of shots of tequila. with some friends.
Nice.
I told this on the Bill Burr. He likes to have a drink every now and then, and we talked about this on one of his podcasts. Mm-hmm. And it's a true story. I was out with some friends and my brothers, and I woke up the next morning. I had a car that got me back, so I wasn't driving. I don't want anybody out there thinking that I did that or that that's cool.
Yeah.
I wake up the next morning, and my shirt, my button-down shirt, is on the floor next to the bed with a car tire mark on the back.
What?
What? Oh, my gosh.
Which immediately makes you ask the question, what happened?
Yeah. Am I alive?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm like, so I go into the bathroom and I look in the mirror like, was I run over by a car?
And, am I Wolverine?
No.
I was sure. I mean, like a wide car tire mark on the back of the. And I had to ask the people I was with. They said, no, you were getting in. We had a limo. And I was stepping into the limo, and my foot, like, tripped on the curb, and I fell, and my back ended up hitting the tire of the limo.
Oh, okay. Man.
But I didn't remember that.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, this is not a good story.
This is not a good
story. This is not a good story.
I've been dead the whole time.
People out there.
Just, did I ever tell you guys a hilarious story about how I tripped getting into my limo? Yeah.
Well, I needed to explain how there was a tire mark on my...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. But you know what? That sums you up. Like, that's your version of wild. You know what I mean? It wasn't a crazy, like, you know, meth bender or something. It was,
Unless you haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah. We don't know. What a crazy weekend. Yeah. I ruined a shirt. Yeah.
That's funny. The dry cleaner ended up rejecting that shirt. And that's the crazy kind of life.
Thank God I bought two. You know, was an extra. You said something last time I was working with you that made me ask you to do this in the first place, because I would have probably never asked you before that because you're very busy. You had said that you read a book called How to Stop Procrastinating.
Yes.
And that inspired you to do something you'd always wanted to do.
Yes.
And you were telling a story about that, so they haven't heard that. I have.
Okay.
But yeah, we love, because those are the types of books we read, is How to Stop Procrastinating, and then we dissect it for 40 minutes. Yeah. And then we go, this is how we live now. Yeah. And that's how we do it.
That's interesting. Well, it was a thin little book, because if it was a thick book, I knew I would have never read it.
Right.
So that's sensible. One thing. And, you know, I've always had a problem with procrastination, but I think a lot of people do.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so... I don't know where I saw the book. It said How to End Procrastination or something like that. So I'm like, let me check this book out. So I'm reading through the book. And one of the techniques is, they call it the salami technique. At least that's what they called it in this book. They said, if the goal seems big and insurmountable, chop it up into little goals. Mm. And they said, the first thing you should do is make a goal that is so easy that you can do it like in less than a minute. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I can do that. Yeah. So I had always wanted to skydive. I always had this dream of wanting to skydive. I have a tremendous fear of heights, but I thought that would be like I would never forget it if I skydived.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, there's something that I think is way too big to ever try to figure out. And then the salami technique was like, well, what's the smallest thing I can do to head in that direction? And I thought, I was in a hotel on the road. I was in Atlanta. And I thought, all I have to do is look up skydiving in the Yellow Pages. That's all I have to do today to work towards that goal.
Yeah.
So I looked up skydiving in the Yellow Pages, and 2 days later, I skydived.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how fast?
Oh, my God.
That's one hell of a book.
You know, because I'm looking at I looked it up, and there was a place near Atlanta, like Rome, Georgia, skydiving lessons or... And there's a telephone number right there. And I'm like, well, how can I not dial the number? It's right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's just the next piece of salami. The number
and ask them. And I called and they're like, yeah, we have the bar. We have it tomorrow, the day after. And I'm like, next thing I knew, this process was happening.
Yeah.
I called friends of mine who lived in Atlanta. Hey, you want to join in? And boom, boom, boom. Next thing I know, I'm in a rental car driving.
Oh my God.
To Rome, Georgia, and going up in a plane. And, you know, I ended up doing it. And it was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But I did it. So. It
was, and you were glad you did it?
I have mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings. Mm. Okay.
Because. Well, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I took on the thing. I have a fear of heights. I'm not exaggerating when I say I'm afraid to put the star on the top of the Christmas tree.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
It's that scary.
Do you utilize your balconies, or is that tough for you?
Huh?
Do you utilize the balconies that you have?
I don't want to go near the railing, and I try not to put it on my kids, but I'm like, don't lean against those railings, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... putting the star on the Christmas tree, you know, three steps up, and they got to take one more step, and then you have to lean over a little bit.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of disaster can happen? How many deaths have happened? How many tragic Christmas stories have you read? Yet another putting a star on a Christmas tree. Tragic death. So anyway, I have a fear of heights, and I thought, what better way to combat it than skydiving? And I wanted to... So when I called the place, they said, we have two ways of doing it. You can, if you want a free fall, let me back up. They said, you can either do a static line where you're connected to the plane by a cable.
Okay.
But you're not going to free fall. You're going to go just far enough away from the plane, and then the chute will open, and then you just take the chute all the way down. And I'm like, well, that's not the dream. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
They said, well, if you want a free fall, before you pull the chute, they're not going to allow first timers to do that because you could panic.
So
you have to have a tandem master strapped to your back, and he's literally strapped to your back like where a parachute would be, and then he's got the parachute on his back, but that way you can free fall for like up to 30 seconds, and then you can pull the chute, and then the both of you go down together. So I said, that's what I want to do. So we get up there, and I have a video of it somewhere. They have a guy with a camera on his helmet who go. It's this little tiny plane. You know, I'm used to, you know, regular airplanes, a little kind of plane. And the thing that horrified me about it is the plane never settled on a noise. It's like, what is this, a lawnmower engine? You know, just make one consistent noise.
Yeah.
And it just kept going in circles up and up and up. And it was me, the tandem master, and there were like four or five other people on the plane that were also going to parachute who had more experience than me. They were going to go out first.
Yeah.
So we get up, and I'm just, my heart pounding the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they get up to a level where they're going to start letting the other people out. They open the door, which is horrifying.
Here go,
me, door, ground.
Yeah.
Way down there.
Oh, my gosh.
And this one other guy who I guess had jumped a lot. He was going to jump by himself. He knew I was new. He's like, good luck to you. And then he just jumped out of the plane. He jumped out of the plane, and then I look out the window, and he was... so tiny, so fast, you know, like he was a 6 foot man and now he's tinier than the smallest grain of sand, like in a half a second.
Oh, God. Like,
how fast do you fall? And I'm like, oh my God. And then the other people all went out, and then the guy strapped himself to my back. And then there was another guy with the camera on his helmet. So that guy goes out first. He goes out on the wing. And he turns around and faces you with the camera. And then I came out. And we had done some practice before we went up in the plane. And so I'm supposed to get out. And this guy's on my back. And there's a death grip I have on the side of that plane. Like,
and
in the video, you can see him like using his hand to pry my fingers off. Like, I am not... like I'm standing on this metal thing below a wing. I'm like, what am I
gosh.
Doing?
Oh my gosh.
And he pulls my hand off, and now he's holding on, and I'm like,
oh my God.
And he's like, are you ready? No. So he goes, let's go. And so we jumped out, and you're supposed to put your arms out wide or else you can tumble, you know,
oh,
you're tumbling.
Great.
So I don't have my arms out wide enough. So he grabs my arms, and because I jump out, I see sky, I see ground. I feel like we're tumbling.
Yeah.
He pulls my arms out and we just kind of settled. So now I'm just facing the earth.
Oh.
with wind like you can't imagine, you know, on my face, just hurtling towards the earth, hurtling. Oh, and I don't know what speed, but and in your brain, you're going, why would I do this on purpose? You know? And then at the 30-second mark or whatever, they wanted to know, did I want to pull the chute or let them pull the chute? I said, I want to pull the chute, but if I don't, can you make sure you pull the chute?
Yeah.
So he taps me when it's time to pull the chute. He's got some altimeter thing or something. Pull the chute. And I don't know how fast you're going, but you go from that to zero in a millisecond.
Right.
Wow.
It's like a train hitting you.
Yeah.
And my neck went... and my neck was immediately in pain because my body stopped, but my head went like that.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, I'm in the air with the parachute thinking I just messed up my neck. I don't know, permanently. I don't know, but it was like, it hurt. So I'm riding down and I'm trying to enjoy this, you know, whatever's left of this. And then we're supposed to do a butt slide landing. Okay. You come in and you hit the grass, but you slide. Okay. Uh-huh. So we do the rest of the ride down and then we're coming in for the landing. He's like, all right, get ready for the butt slide deal or whatever. And then, but it's still like jumping from 6 feet in the air, you know what I mean? Oh, so I came in and I didn't aim myself right and hit my tailbone.
Oh my God. Ouch.
And I was like, oh. And then I stand up and I'm like, my neck hurts, my tailbone hurts, and none of that, neither of those hurt 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh.
And they were like, so what'd you think? Did you have fun? And I didn't want to like go, I wish I hadn't done this. I was like, yeah, it was great. I'm permanently disabled.
So, my body is ruined forever. Thanks for the experience.
Yeah. So I'm suing the people who wrote the procrastination book. This isn't a good ending to a head. So never read a self-help book because you'll end up hurting your neck and your tailbone.
Yeah. Never read self-help.
Be safe. God. Wrap yourself in bubble wrap and stay inside your house.
Oh, man. It's just such an extreme way to try to get over your fear of heights. Like, it's just like from not wanting to put a star on the Christmas tree to skydiving.
I know.
Like, no hike in between or anything.
It's
just like,
no. We're going for it.
That's quite a jump. No pun intended.
I don't even have that big of a fear of heights, but I am terrified. I will never go skydiving.
Oh,
terrified.
Never.
Absolutely 100% never.
Yeah.
Well, it made me feel good that's one of my biggest fears is a fear of heights. And I thought if I can at least do what I can to try to take it on, I can take some comfort in life that I've tried to tackle something.
Yeah.
So I feel good about that.
That's good.
And the neck thing is gone. It's completely fine. The tailbone thing is once in a while on a super long country, you know, 6 hour flight. Yeah. It might hurt in the last hour for a little bit, but it's very minor. So all in all, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, just enough pain to remind you, like, I did it.
Yeah.
Did it. Yeah. Did it. I'm a little souvenir.
That's a great way to pick up chicks sitting next to me going, hey, you might be wondering why my tailbone is hurting.
It's not about
And they're
to
like,
rain.
I didn't know your tailbone was hurting. Well, since we're on the subject.
I face my fears.
I have this hat video.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Man, has it helped with your fear of heights doing that? Like, is it with the smaller types of heights that you might come across? Has it helped?
Yeah. Did you just like rock Christmas that year?
Yeah.
You'd be adored in that
stars
tree.
On that tree.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. I ziplined in and put the star on the tree. With a cape. I had a cape flying behind me.
Gather around, children. Papa's here.
Wow, Daddy's courageous. No, I still have the fear of heights. Wow. I wasn't doing it to eliminate the fear. I was doing it to see if I could do it despite the fear.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You did it.
They say that's what courage is. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing it while you're afraid.
Another great quote.
Yeah.
Right?
Look at that.
That is a beauty right there.
Yeah. I think that was in the Princess Diaries, that quote.
That's awesome.
That's how great that quote is.
Well, it's like stand up. I don't know about you, but I assume we were all a little scared at first.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Completely.
My first year doing it, I think I had more stage fright than maybe most. I was at about the 9-month mark, standing off stage, thinking to myself, I can describe this as petrified.
Mm. Wow.
And I remember thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I? All I got to do is go out to the parking lot and get in my car and never do this again.
Yeah.
But clearly, there's something inside of you that's telling you, do this.
Yeah.
There's some greater good. Go through this, whatever this fearful thing is, and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a real need. I say that all the time. I mean, if I didn't need to do it, I definitely would not. Because just logically, I mean, we've all talked about it being very type A. It's not very conducive, like the lifestyle is not conducive to who we are as people.
Not at all.
As far as like traveling all the time and being alone on the road, especially as young women, and just like, you know, going up in front of people every night. It's just, it doesn't make any sense with our personalities in certain regards, but you just like have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you just got to do it for
like gremlin inside.
I need it.
I need it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
it is weird. I mean, that is. I think we all share that. There's some twisted thing we want from it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, twisted in a bad way, but it's like there's some. We want that connection.
Yeah. So, yeah. Is that what you feel like you need? You feel like you need the connection with other people? Do you need the validation, the approval? Just the you just it's just what you have to do. You feel like you were put on this earth to do it. Like, what is it, do you think, for you?
I don't go so far as to I'm on this earth.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah. Messiah.
But laughing feels good. You know, it feels good. It's hard to. Even if there are problems in life, when you're laughing, it's at least a reprieve from whatever you're going through. In that moment, you feel better than you did before you were laughing. So it's so joyful to laugh, and then to be able to make other people do that it's just powerful, and it's beautiful, and it feels tremendous to be able to provide that for people.
Yeah.
And there's an ego trip. I'd be lying if I didn't say there wasn't, you know? It's like, wow, look what I can do, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
So,
not Band-Aid Dad tonight.
Yeah. Get out of here, you tiny monsters.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
That should be a special title.
Oh, Band-Aid Dad. Off-duty Band-Aid Dad.
Greatest.
That's awesome.
Do you have any long-term goals for your career, like the next, you know, chapter? Have you reached all your goals? I know we all have, you know, long-term and short-term goals. Like, how do you...
Yeah, you've already accomplished people's like bucket list things in comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never been able to middle at the Chuckle House.
We have got
we
you
can
covered.
Help you with that.
You got any numbers? Anybody you can talk?
Yeah, not the Chuckle Hut, but the Giggle Shack.
The Giggle Shack.
We got all you. We got you covered all
the
day.
The chicken fingers there. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some things I would still like to do. I would love to. I would love to be able to do a TV show based around how I think as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, very
nice.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Where I'm sitting down going, let's do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dabbling with this acting thing with some stuff that's happening, which is fun. And I love that. And one thing I like about that is I'm not part of the writing or it's like, I don't even have to worry about this. All I got to do is do my little role.
Yeah.
But I also like the comedy itself. So I do want to do a TV show where it's me sitting around with some people going, let's do this, that, and the other and see what happens.
Yeah.
Nice. I would love that opportunity. And maybe that might be happening soon.
That's awesome.
Ooh, look at that exclusive tease.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. And watch his hour-long thing on Netflix. Yeah. What is it? We don't know.
We don't really know. Got a Zumba.
Yeah. We've got an hour thing happening. And then maybe another project.
How long is that? What's the length
of
the project?
No, that's what I was just saying.
Yeah,
the TV show thing.
I was joking.
Oh, sorry.
No, that bombed real hard.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're doing so well.
Do you want to wait in the car?
Yeah. Because... We'll wrap this up, okay. Taylor.
Hey,
you are
embarrassing us. What did Taylor mean by that? What did Taylor... I'm confused by her last comment.
I'm really sorry about her. She
does this sometimes. So
is she part of all the podcasts?
Not anymore. This is my tell make you the wish
today. These aren't even my friends. These are just
don't embarrass us. Well, we are we're at that time mark, yeah. So we don't want to take up any
more. Yeah, I have to follow up by, you know, because there'll be some moron out there listening that goes, that guy who said a mean thing about Taylor.
Oh,
like, somebody that won't understand
gosh.
Humor.
Oh, man.
I mean,
so, I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
That's fair. I saw a clip of, was it Last Comic Standing? Or?
I don't know. I think I asked you because you asked me to open for you and I waited a couple times before I was like, how did I get here? And you were like, I just saw something on YouTube and then I watched something else. And I was like, really? So I don't know. It might have been a Last Comic Standing clip. I have a few other clips that it might have been from. Yeah, the fact, I think I've told you this, but when I was in high school, just starting out, my dad was like, just email Brian Regan. I bet he needs an opener. And so when I got to work with you for the first, he just thought that was the greatest thing.
That is so cool.
But I had to make it clear, like, look, it's not because I emailed him.
Yeah, we can't reinforce those naive parental thoughts.
Yeah.
My mom, call Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, you should be on Comedians and Car. Yeah.
What? Just do it.
Yeah.
Get an Adam Sandler movie. Yeah. Honey, I'm sure Adam will help you.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
I should have thought of that.
The club I started at, the comic strip in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was there. I mean, I was literally, I would go on stage at the end of the night, but I would cook in the kitchen. Like, I worked there.
Yeah.
And so after one of the shows, some guy came up to me. This is the same exact thing. And said, Rodney Dangerfield is doing a show at the Sunrise Musical Theater. He goes, why don't you... why don't you go open for him there instead of doing this? Oh, while I'm holding a trash can. Like I hadn't thought of that. Like, you know what? That's right. I should put this trash can down and go open for Rodney Dangerfield at the Sunrise Musical Theater.
Yeah. I'm a real man of the people. I just don't want to, you know, fly too close to the sun.
And I had a guy come up to me after a show one time who I guess had told me years before that I should be on Letterman, like another thing that I hadn't thought of. Right. And he came up to me after I had done Letterman and said, remember a couple years ago?
Oh my god!
After the show, I told you she'd get on Letterman. Oh, he man. Goes, eh? Like he had set me on the right path.
That's hysterical.
You know, like I owed him some thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't even know about that show until you mentioned it. I got on the TV. And I was like, I should get on that show.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's people. Incredible. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
We can't thank you enough.
We really appreciate this. You're just one of the best comics.
You're
period.
Very nice.
Not even just beyond our favorites, because what do we know? But just as far as reputation goes, you have the absolute best. So,
thank you.
Thank you for coming on and talking to us for a little bit. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thank all of you for wanting to do this with me. It means a lot to me.
Of course.
And,
heavens.
For making the trek out here to Vegas. And good luck with this wonderful podcast that you guys all have going.
Thank you
so much.
Aww.
All right.
So. Did you see my girls? You just answered me like, oh,
you too.
No, and you.
And you.
Oh, perfect. Nailed it.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Why won't